Okay, everybody, today's daf is daf Tes Zayin. We're starting the third line from the top of the Amud. Third line. As you recall, yesterday we spoke about the fact that unfortunately the Aroin was Nignaz. It was hidden. Exactly where it's hidden was a major machloikis yesterday, whether it was schlepped away
to Babel,
or whether it's in Yerushalayim, buried under the Beis HaMikdash. That in itself seemed to have been an issue, whether it was underneath the Kodesh Kodashim or under the Dir HaEitzim. Our Gemara is going to deal with that now in greater detail. Now the question is, when was that Aroin Nignas? At what point? Our Gemara is going to tell us momentarily that it was Yoshiyahu HaMelech. Yoshiyahu HaMelech was one of the later Melachim in Klal Yisrael, and he was an Erlecha, means he was a real religious tzaddik. And he saw the writing on the wall, as we'll see, that unfortunately there were prophecies that Klal Yisrael were going to go into Golus, and he was concerned if Klal Yisrael goes into Golus, all of the Klei HaMikdash might go into Golus, and they would unfortunately never return. So we're up to the third line of Tes Zayin, and Allah Zokti Yimara, Mishnich Lisa Oren, when the Oren went Begnizer, when it was hidden, Nignaz Imoitz in Tzenes Aman, so too the bottle in which the mon, the flask of the mon, was also hidden. Utzloichi Shemen HaMishcha, the Shemen HaMishcha that they used to anoint all the Klei HaMishkan and also the Kehanim Gedoilim and the Malachim, as we'll see in the Gemara shortly. Umakli Shulaharan, Ufrochav, Ushkedav, the famous Makli Shulaharan in Parshas Korach, that was hidden. The Arga Sheshivu Pelishtim, Oshem Lihei Yisrael. When the Pelishtim returned the Oren to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, at that point they had undergone, endured many calamities and many disasters as a result of the fact that they were hosting the Oren. When they returned the Oren, they gave an Oshem, they gave a present to Klal Yisrael, and it was, all of the presents were inside an Argos, inside a box, and that box was traveling together with the Oren, and when they returned, when the Oren went Begniza, that Argos went Begniza as well. Now how do we know that when the Oren went Begniza that it was hidden, all those other things were also hidden? Our Gemara doesn't bring it, however, both the Karban Eid and the Takna Chalatin remind us of the drashos which appear in the Bavli. The Bavli has also that same list, the Oren together with the Mon, the Tzloicha Shel Mon, Tzloicha Shel Shemen, Makla Shel Aharon, the Argos, what's the Raya? So each one of them Siddur a Drosha. If you want to look for instance, Taklan Chadatin on the right hand side, 5-6 lines in, Nignaz Imoit Sinzenes, with Tisef Tisham, Vialim Rachsiv. By the Oren it says, Asher Ivoed Lecha Shama. The key word, Shama. Uksiv Bitsinzenes Haman, Besen Shama, Aloya Oimer Man. So we learn Exeter Shama, Shama, Shama. Just like the Oren went Begniza, so too did the Tzinsenes Shelman. Okay, how do I know about the Shemen HaMishcha? Next pasuk, Tchsiv Bei L'doyroi Seichem, Shemen Yezeh Li L'doyroi Seichem. The Gemara is going to bring the pasuk shortly. Shemen Mishchas Kodesh Yezeh Li L'doyroi Seichem. So it says Doyroi Seichem. By the Tzinsenes Haman, it also says V'sen Shama M'loya Oimer Man. And then the pasuk continues on L'doyr Seichem. So I learned L'doyr Seichem that the same thing applies to the Tzloiches Shel Shem. How do I know Makla Shel Haran? Because Makla Shel Haran says the word L'mishmeres. Where does it say L'mishmeres? It says that Kodesh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, take the Makla Shel Haran and stand it up. L'mishmeres li'ois libnei meri. People should see what happened when Korach challenged Aharon for the kahuna. So it says l'mishmeres. And the gabe that tzitzedes amon, it says also put it away l'mishmeres. So there again you have exeter shava one to the other. Finally we have the arga sheshiva plishtim, say the takna charetin, the karban eider. For that I don't need exeter shava, since it says that they should go and put the Argos litzidai of the Oren. So wherever the Oren went, the Argos went with it. It was like an addendum to the Oren, if you will. So Memela, the Oren went to the Argos with the presence of the Pelishtim, also went along. So Mi Gomzai, back to the Gemara, 6 lines to the top. Mi Gomzai, who was the one that hit them all? It was Yeshio Gomzai. Why? Kim Shiro Shikosa. Yeshio HaMelech saw a premonition. He saw Ashtik HaNavua. What was this? This was a Sefer Torah that was discovered in the times of Yeshio HaMelech in the Beis HaMikdash. They opened up the Sefer Torah and they found that it was opened to this pasuk. Yoylech Hashem Oyscha V'yismalkecha Shetochem Melecha El Goya Sholeyadata Atava V'yisecha. This is a pasuk, unfortunately, in the Toichecha. And it tells us that the time will come that unfortunately Klal Yisrael and their Melech and the Ganze, the whole folk, the whole nation is going to be taken out into Golus. They're going to be taken, Yoylech Hashem, Oyscha Hashem is going to be Moylech, he's going to cause them to travel to a Goy, Ashelo Yodata, Ato Avisecha, places that you didn't even fathom, that you had no idea. This is a pasuk at the end of Parshas Kisavoy in the Toichecha. So once he saw that, he said, that means that Chas V'Shalom, not only we're going to go into Golus, that means the Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed, and the Klei HaMikdash will go into Golus. Therefore, Amr Tugonze, that's why he was Goynes, in fact, the Oroin beneath the Beis HaMikdash. Hadohu Dechziv, that's why it says in the Pasuk, Vayoyme, and Yoshio HaMelech said, La'leviyim HaMevidim, Ulecho Yisrael HaKdoishim HaShem, Tnu Es Oroin HaKodish B'Bayis HaShemban HaShloimah, Ben David Melech Yisrael, Ein Lechem Masa Bekatav. What does this say? But Yoshio HaMelech said to Leviim was, and to Klal Yisrael, go and take the Oren and put it into the binyan of Shloime Melech. What? You have to go and put the Oren in the binyan of Shloime Melech? The Oren has been in that binyan now for the last 410 years. You have to go and put it in the binyan. But the pshat is, he said, don't put it level in the first floor, but rather put it in a subterranean tunnel, which apparently Shloime Melech had already built. At the same time that he was building the Beis HaMikdash, there was a basement or a tunnel underneath the Beis HaMikdash. Now, not everybody knew about that. That's why he said, La'leviyim ha'mevinim. Those Leviyim that knew the secret, knew where that secret tunnel or subterranean place was. And therefore, let's go and take the Oren from above and put it down below. And then he told them, Ein lechem masa bekasef. Masa bekasef means that you don't have to carry it on your shoulders. What does that mean? After all, I understand that the times of the Mishkan and the Midbar, that they were constantly traveling and they were carrying the Oren. What is this Ein lechem masa bekasef? Says the Korban Eida that as a result of hiding it, you don't have to worry about that it's going to be taken away to Bavel and that you're going to have to try to carry it back and retrieve it. We're going to just leave it here and it's going to be here in safekeeping, so you don't have to worry about it anymore. So you won't have to worry about carrying it back. So to Moravai to Omelahem, Im Goyle Hu Imachem LeBavel, if we don't hide it underneath the Beis HaMikdash, but we take what we're going to be thrown out into Golus to Bavel, and if the king of Bavel, if Nebuchadnezzar, is going to go and take away with Klal Yisrael the Oroin, Ein Atem Machzirin Oisei Oidlam Koimai, it's never going to come back. I'm telling you, says Yeshio, it's going to remain there, we're never going to see it again. Ela At Idus Hashem Alekeichem Yis Amu Yisrael. Now you, Leviim, you're thinking to yourselves, well, if we're not going to have the job to go and carry it back, what are we going to do? Says Yoshio, nothing to worry about. Go, Ibdus Hashem Lekechem, find other ways of serving in Rabbeinu Shalom. Go into Bismedish, learn another hour, go and do other mitzvahs of Mas and Toivim to try to fulfill and to fill that slot that you won't be able to carry the Oren any longer because of the fact that it's going to be now Bigniza under Bismedish. Now, since we spoke about the Oroin, we mentioned the Tloiches of Shemen and Mishcha, and our Gemara goes a little bit into the manufacture of the Shemen and Mishcha. Pitam Shemen and Mishcha. Pitam means the manufacture, the processing of the Shemen and Mishcha, the manufacturing. It says in the Pasuk, beginning of Parshas Kisisa, V'yata kachlecha b'sam roish, and the Pasuk continues on, V'kidah chamesh meyois, shein elef v'chamesh meyois manim. It's 1,500 altogether. Now, where do we have 1,500? Our Gemara is Makatzer and doesn't bring the two psukim. Assuming that you have the Torah Ora Shalem and Ois Gimel or number 3, all the way in the bottom, the Gemara quotes two psukim. And it's very easy. V'yata kach lecha b'samim rosh. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Rabbi Yisai, go and take some different types of spices for incense. What are those? Number one, mordror. In English, that's called myrrh. M-Y-R-R-H. Mm. What is myrrh? That's the name of one of the psalmim. Chomesh meyos, 500 parts. 500 manim. V'kinmon besem, machtzisei chamishim masayim. Add to that the kinmon besem. Perhaps that is related to cinnamon, kinmon. Machtzisei chamishim masayim, that's 250. You have 500 and 250. Ed, can you help me out with the arithmetic? How much is 500 and 250?
500 and 250?
Yes.
750.
750. It's unanimous. Rabbi say 750. And then you add to that uknevoisem, another spice. Chamishim u'masayim. We're adding another 250. 750 and 250 gets us to roughly 1,000. Now we get to the next pasuk. The kida is chamesh meyos b'shekel ha'kodesh. Another 500. 1,500 is 1,500. The shemen zayisim. So we have 1,500 in shemen zayisim. Getting back to our Gemara, v'yatakach lecha v'kida chamesh meyos shehen. 1,500 parts, 1,500 portions, like we just added them all together.
Of what? Of spices?
Of these spices, okay. Correct. And you add to that a shim and zayis hin. How much is a hin? A hin is shneim osur loig, 12 lugin. Shaboy shokinis ikrin divir meir, yudo imer, etc. We're going to have now a machloikis, what they did after they put together all of these beautiful spices. Now we have to go and dip them into the loig shaman to be able to do a meshicha. Meshicha means to go and smear them and anoint them on the kelim as well as on people, like we'll see in the Gemara momentarily. So apparently these spices have roots to them, and those roots, according to the first Tana, were cooked together with the loig shaman, and therefore they absorbed a lot of the loig shemen within them. And after
it
the cooking,
here,
yes,
the roots become saturated with water, so they will not absorb the oil.
That's because you're one line ahead of us.
Pardon me?
We're going according to the first man, but you're going according to the second one. Shabbai Shokas Ikrim. You did beautifully. Which one boils the roots.
I like arguing.
Which one boils the roots of the four species that are listed above. Those four. That's the Mordurar, the Kinei Voisim, and the Kinmon Besim, and the Kida. These four had roots to them. According to the first man, the Amar, you took the roots and you boiled them in the Shemen Zayis Hin. Divrei Meir. Now, we have here a Meir. However, then the going changes it, because we'll see from the Gemara later, it doesn't shtim. And therefore, this is really Rabbi Yehuda, and the next one, Rabbi Yehuda, is really Rabbi Yossi. We'll see this momentarily. Anyway, so what happens over here? We go and cook and boil the four species, the 1,500, in this Shemen Zayisim. Rabbi Yehuda, I'm Rabbi Yehuda, respectfully disagrees with Rabbi Meir, and he says, Shokarayim b'mayim. They didn't go and cook them in the oil, they cooked them in water. And after they finished the cooking and the absorbing, then they dipped them into the shemen. Once they put them in the shemen for a short period of time, and now those roots were able to go and absorb a little bit of the reyach of the shemen, reyach, the smell, the scent, then he took the oil away, just like ha-pitamin, just like the perfumers, oisin, that's the way they do it. What's the Gemara telling us? The Gemara is not that expressed, but what Rabbi Yehuda is telling Rabbi Meir is, it's not a good idea to go and soak and cook the roots in the oil. Because if you're going to go and soak them and cook them in the oil, they're going to absorb from the oil. And I need the oil for purposes of anointing. If there won't be any oil left, it's all going to be absorbed, balua, in the roots, then that'll be the root of the problem. We won't have any oil left. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, go and boil them in water. They will absorb water to the maximum. So now when you go and dip them into the oil, they're not going to absorb the oil, because the oil is already fully absorbed. Therefore, put them in the oil, they'll get a little bit of the scent, and then we'll use them to go and shmir on the oil as we need to anoint on the various kelim and the people. Hadahu dechsev, that's why it says in the pasuk, Shemen Mishchas Kodesh Giyaze Li Ledoiroi Secha. The Gemara is going to darshan at the end that although the shemen was used, was first manufactured in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, this same shemen remained for hundreds and hundreds of years until the times of Yoshio HaMelech, and when Yoshio was gonez the Oroin, he was gonez that very same shemen of Mishkan that Moshe Rabbeinu manufactured, and it was totally intact miraculously. How do we know it was totally intact? Because we started this Gemara by saying that it was a Shemen Zayis Hin. Hin is the same as 12 Lugin. And the Pasuk says, Shemen Mishras Kodesh Yeh Zeh Li L'Doyre Sechem. Zeh is Begematria, 7 and 5 is Begematria, 12. The same 12 Lugin in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu remained hundreds of years later. Nothing was lost of those 12. And the Gemara explains, Tani Rabbi Yehuda Berabiloi. Stam Rabbi Yehuda throughout Shas is Rabbi Yehuda Berabiloi. What does he say? Shemen HaMishcha she'osa Moshe b'midbar ma'asa nisim na'asa boi. They were tremendous miracles. Why? Mevchila b'ad tzai, from beginning to end. Shemen chila loy oye boi ala shnei ma'asa loy. We started off with 12 loy. Shenema Shemen Zayis Hin. And we said that a hin has 12 lugin. In ma'asa boi is ikrin. If you're talking about going and taking the ikrin and soaking them in the oil, loy hoye boi sefik, or loy yesipik, there wouldn't be enough just by the fact that you, well, the word losach is probably more to just dip it in from Lashon Sicha to Shmir. If you're just going to go and dip it in, you wouldn't have enough for all of these ikrin. These are 1,500 munin, 1,500 portions. And now you're dipping them into a relatively small 12 lugan. It wouldn't have been enough. Al achas kama v'kama. When you are now cooking them, she'or b'ylea, actually the or b'ylea, the heat of the fire is going to go and cause some of it to evaporate. Vo'etzim boilin, as well as the fuel that you're using to go and heat up the fire, that's going to cause some of it to evaporate and to absorb. Vayurabulas, and of course the pot in which you are cooking it, that would be boilin. And what happened? Umimenu, after they cooked it, one with the other. Now before we continue it, you see that what Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi is saying is that they actually cooked the roots in the shemen. And therefore, he's saying what a great miracle that all of that would have been absorbed in the pot and the ur and in the eitzim. This is totally at odds with what Rabbi Yehuda said a moment ago. Rabbi Yehuda said to Rabbi Meir, no, they didn't cook them. They put it in the water. And that's the reason why the Vilna Goyim changes the girsa instead of Divrei Meir Rabbi Yehuda, it's Divrei Rabbi Yehuda and then Rabbi Yoisi. And therefore, what in our Gemara appears to be Rabbi Meir is really Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda was the one that said, in fact, it was cooked. Says now, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Eloi, don't tell me that we have to go and first soak it or cook it in water because you're worried about that it's going to be Balea from the Shemen. There were so many miracles that this is just one more of the miracles. What was one more of the miracles? That they, in fact, they did cook it in the Shemen. And therefore, the Shemen is Nivla, it becomes absorbed into the roots, evaporated by the fire. Some of it goes into the Eitzim. And Umimenu, continuing on the Gemara, Umimenu Nimshchu HaMishkan. After that, they use that to anoint and smear on the Mishkan itself. V'chol Kelev and all the Kelev, such as HaShulchan, V'chol Kelev, HaMenoira, V'chol Kelev. Umimenu Nimshchu Aharnakoyim Gadol, Uvanav and his children, Kol Shivas Yimei Miluim, all the 7 days of Miluim, before Rish Chodesh Nisan, that's this week's Parsha, Be'yir Mashmini, so all the 7 days before, they were Nimshach. Umimena Nimshachu Kehanim Gedoilim Umulachim, for all future generations, every single Kohen Gadol, and most of the Mulachim. What do you mean most of the Mulachim? Because the Gemara says, Melech Tchila To'un Mashicha. Melech ben Melech Ein To'un Mashicha. If you have a brand new dynasty, a brand new Melech, whose father was not a king, then he gets Mashiach to go and show the Melucha has now changed hands. It's gone now from the Republicans to the Democrats. It's no longer with the previous Melachim, it's now with the new Melachim. So you have to go and do a new Mashiach. But Melech, if David HaMelech already had Mashiach, if David HaMelech had Mashiach, so Shlomo doesn't require it anymore because he's a Melech ben Melech. So ain't done Mashiach. We'll talk about that more in another moment. My time, but what's the Rai that a Melech ben Melech does not require new anointing, because it says by David HaMelech that the Kodesh Baruch Hu said to Shmuel, Shkum Moshcheyu, go and be Moshech, go and anoint David HaMelech to be the new king. Kizehu, Kizehu. Because this is the king. The father requires, but not the son. Once you have a dynasty and the son takes over after the father, you don't have to be Moshech the son. Even if you have a dynasty of Kehanim Gedolim, one after the other, 10 generations, each one requires a brand new Mashiach. And after using all of this small container of oil, these 12 lugim, what did you do with it after it cooked and evaporated, and you did the Mashiach, and you did all the Kalim, and for Aharon and his children, and all the Malachim, and all the Kohen Gadol? Now we're hundreds of years later, the Kuloi kindly also loving, not one drop less than it was originally. That's why it says in the Pasuk, what we quoted before, Shemen Mishchos Kodesh Yeh Zeh Lila Doyre Seichem. So in Alam HaFarshim, what's the Raya? Because it says Zeh, Zeh Begematria 12, and so therefore the same 12 Lugan that you had 400, 500, whatever years ago, that same amount is still in existence. It's more than that, because you also have in between the Mishkan Shiloh, which was for a few hundred years, etc. Good.
That's Ahin is 72 Beitzim.
That's correct. But we're focusing on the Lugan now. 12 Lugan.
12 Lugan, which is one Hin.
Correct. One Hin is 12 Lugan, and the same 12 existed hundreds and hundreds of years later. Good?
Yeah, he says it's a couple gallons. A
couple gallons,
and the how much is... The actual oil is just...
A couple of gallons, but how much is 1,500 mana? Much, much larger.
Yeah, right.
The same article says much, much more.
Yeah.
So you're taking huge amount of these 1,500 mana, and you are soaking them, and you're boiling them, and you're cooking them in 1 or 2 gallons. At the end, there should be nothing left. Miraculously, every drop is left.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good?
Yeah.
Fine. So you more about it in Moshech HaMelachim. Yeah. Ein Moshech HaMelachim. Now when you go and do Mashiach HaMelachim and you anoint the kings, Ein Moshech El Al Gabi HaMayim, for a good simon, for a good mazel, you always do it next to a running brook, a running well, a running spring, stream. Shnebet says in the Pasuk, V'yirkavtem es Shlomo Bini ala Pirda, go and have Shlomo Bini ride on the Pirda, on the mule, Ashali, V'yirabtem Oisei al Gichon, take him down to Gichon, V'mshach Oisei Shom, Tzadik HaKoyin V'nosan Navi, L'melech al Yisrael. Tzadik HaKoyin V'nosan Navi should go and do the anointing of Shlomo Melech as the new Melech in Klal Yisrael. Faith you are. Well, so that's good. So we took him down to Gichon. Gichon is the name of this Mayon. So that is very good. But Frank Timur, didn't you say a moment ago in Moshech Melech ben Melech, Shlomo Melech was the son of David? Everybody knows David and Melech's son was Shlomo Melech. Why do you have to be Moshech? You just said, hey, Moshech Melech ben Melech. So to my Elohim, Bnei Amach Loikis. Ah, even though we said before that you don't have to be Moshech Melech ben Melech, that's only when it's a natural process that everybody accepts without any dissonance. However, if you find that there's a major machloikas going on in Klal Yisrael, that others want another king, or even if others don't want, but if that other king wants to be the other king, he wants to be king, so therefore to go and dispel any doubts about who's the legitimate monarch, we will be Moilech, even Melech ben Melech. Now who was, says Yimor, B'nei Mam Nimshach Shlaima, B'nei Machlukazi Shel Adoni Yohu. Adoni Yohu was another son of David HaMelech, and he wanted to be the replacement, the successor to David HaMelech, and therefore he organized the whole Olam to go and follow him, that he was going to become the new Melech, to go and dispel any doubts about whether he is the king or whether Shlomo Melech is the king. That's why Tzadik HaKoyin and Nosan HaNavi went, and there were Moshech Shlomo Melech. And we have the same thing repeating itself a number of times throughout history. Yoyosh Mepnei Asal Yohu. Asal Yohu was a very wicked queen, and she killed out virtually all of the family members so that she should be the sole exclusive monarch. And she had one eunuch by the name of Yoyosh. Yoyosh was in hiding, hid by another family member to make sure that he wasn't killed. And then after a number of years, Yoyesh came out of hiding, and they were Moishech him as the new Melech, because Asaliyahu was obviously not overjoyed about this. That's the reason why they had to be Moishech Yoyesh, because of the potential conflict with Asaliyahu. Yoyochaz ne Yoyokim Ochiv, Shohigon Mimenu Beishanim. Yoyochaz and Yoyokim were both sons of Yoshiyahu HaMelech. When Yoshiyahu HaMelech passed away, he left over a number of boys. Yoyokim was the oldest, and Yoyochaz was second. Now, normally, as you know, when you have somebody inheriting the Melucha, you would expect that the eldest would take over first, and the younger one would take over later. Here, Yoyochaz became king before Yoyokim. To go and establish him as the legitimate monarch, it was necessary to be Moishech him first, because he was second in chronologically in terms of birth. So Yochim and Yoyokim, Ochiv, Yoyogimimenu, Meishon. Yoyokim was older, Yoyochaz was younger. Okay. So normally the younger one would not take over the Malucha in face of the older one. That was necessary, therefore, to go and be Moishech Yoyochaz, the younger brother. He was 2 years younger.
And then ultimately the older brother came back?
Ultimately, after Yoyochaz, then Yoyokim became the king after him.
Okay.
We're going to talk about that more in another minute. And finally, Yehu Mipnei Yoyram. Yehu and Yoyram. Until now, all the kings that we were speaking about were Malchei Yehuda. Now we're talking about Malchei Yisrael. And it says Yehu and Yoyram had the same conflict. Who's going to be the new king? But both of these were Malchei Yisrael. So Frey Timara, didn't we say, Kum Moshcheyu Kizehu? Zeton Mashiach, meaning David HaMelech and all of his descendants require Mashiach. Of a Malchei Yisrael to the Mashiach. However, Malchei Yisrael, they do not get the benefit of the Mashiach of the Shemana Mishka, because they are not considered to be legitimate Melochim in Klal Yisrael. So, Ibazoi, why are we using Shemen in the case of Yehu and Yoyram, who are both Malchei Yisrael, and not Malchei Yehuda? Every the Gemara with Akasha. The Gemara answers the Kasha with Akasha. Eliyahu Yochas, Mnei Yoyokim, Ochid, Sheigodl Mimenu Shtei Shonen. I don't understand. Yoyochaz and Yoyokim were two sons of Yoshio HaMelech. And we said at the beginning of today's daf, Yoshio was Goynez, the Shemana Mishcha. There was no Shemana Mishcha in the times of Yoyochaz and Yoyokim. Yet you're telling me that there were Moshech Yoyochaz with Shemana Mishcha? Everything Mahado Amra, the Afar Simon Nimshach. You're right. When Yoshio HaMelech was still Melech, he was Goynez, the Oroin, and all those other things, including the Tzloichis of Shemen HaMishcha. So when, after him, Yoyochas and Yoyokim had a dispute as to who should be the new king, they taka didn't use the bona fide Shemen HaMishcha, but they used a backup. The backup was a farsamoyim. They say a farsamoyim is balsam oil. They used that for the Mashicha. But that wasn't a real Mashicha. It was more of a symbolic Mashicha that they were saying, Sinishdor, the Shemana Mishcha will do the second best. We're going to go and take the Afarsim and use that for the Mishcha.
Is that like a little bit like...
Yeah.
Place something you're not allowed to place.
There's no Isser in the Torah. There's a mitzvah to go and use the Shemana Mishcha.
But if you show us... You can put anything on a Melech to make a Mishcha.
Who decided it should be a Afarsim? I don't know. I wasn't asked, I wasn't around at the time, but that's what they decided. Since there's no Shemana Mishcha, they're going to go and use that Farsamon oil. Presumably that was a very special oil. I'm assuming it was a rarity, and so therefore this was considered to be something very special, because if everybody put on a Farsamon oil, that's a big deal. I use deodorant, you use deodorant. I use Dove soap, and you use Dove soap. What difference does it make?
Didn't we establish that it's the Kohanim that requires the Mishcha, not the kings necessarily?
Wait, you're asking an excellent question. So the answer is, all Kohanim Gedolim throughout all the generations all had to have Mashiach. Among the Melachim, typically a Melech ben Melech did not require Mashiach. If his father was a king, he didn't need Mashiach. However, if there was some sort of dispute or conflict, then it was required. Yoshio HaMelech was the father of both Yehoyachaz and Yehoyakim, but since Yehoyachaz was the younger brother of Yehoyakim, everybody anticipated that the older brother would take over as the new Melech. Since it was the younger brother, to make sure that nobody would go and question the bona fides of the new king, they were moishech him with shemen. We thought until now it was shemen and mishcha. Now the Gemara says, no, there was no shemen and mishcha left, it was hidden. So they used a farse menorah. So just like they used a farse menorah in that case, so too in the case of Yehu and Yoram, who were Malchi Yisrael, they also used a farse menorah, not the bona fide shemen and mishcha, because the bona fide shemen and mishcha could only be used for the Malchi Yehud. Now the Gemara continues. Ein moishech melachim ela min ha-keren. When you go and a moishech melachim, you go and use a keren. I'm assuming a keren means a horn. Otherwise, it means some sort of container that looks like a keren, like a horn. While shol v'yeyu nimshechu min ha-pach. They were used by a pach shemen, like we have pach shemen by the menorah by Chanukah, by a flask. And what does the Gemara say? That if you're moishech melach min ha-keren, that's the best way of doing it. Because shol v'yehu nimshchu min ha-pach, hoyse malchuson malchus oyveres. Their malchus was only transitional, was only temporary. Tov d'shloim nimshchu min ha-keren, hoyse malchuson malchus kayemes, and therefore their malchus is ad yad, and even till today, we are waiting for the melech ha-mashiach, who is an einikul of David ha-melech, and therefore the malchus beit David should go and return, in yetzishim b'karv. So now on this is a very, very beautiful vart of the Bnei Yisoschar. What is the beautiful word of Bnei Yisoschar? I repeated this last time when we learned this in Bavli, but not everybody may remember. This was repeated here in this shul by Koppel Laufer. Who's Koppel Laufer? He's the older brother of Yossi Laufer. Who's Yossi Laufer? Yossi Laufer is the brother-in-law of our Rav Fuad, and he was the son-in-law of the late Rav Fuad. Therefore, there was a Sheva Brachas here in Shul, and his older brother spoke very beautifully, and he said the following vart. What did he say? It says that a melech should have dafka, the Mashiach, from a keren, and not from a pach. Because if it's from a keren, it's going to last. But for a pach, it's only going to be temporary. Now let's take the word pach. Pach is spelled pei and chof. What is the gematria of pei and chof? Pei is 80, chof is 20, 80 plus 20... How much is 80 plus 20? 100. Now let's take the word yimloch. Yimloch is, leave out the vav. Yud mem lamed chav. 10 and 40 is 50. And then yimloch, lamed and chav is 30 plus 20 is another 50. 50 plus 50 is 100, right? So pach is yimloch. Everybody agrees with that?
Okay.
Good. Yimloch and pach is 100. Fine. Now let's go and talk about keren. Keren starts off with a kuf. Kuf is already 100. Mm. And then you have Resh Nun is another 250. So you already have 100 plus 250. So the 100 of Yimloch is already covered. And now we have another 250. Now let's take the words Li'oilam Vard. Again, leave out a Vav. Li'oilam. Lamed Ayin. Lamed is 30 and Ayin is 70. And that's 100. Then you have again a Lamed and a Mem, which is another 30 plus 40, is 70. So the word li'oilam is 170. Everybody agree, 170? Yes, 170. Remember, 170. Now we get to vo'ed. Vo'ed is vav, is 6. Ayin is 70, is 76. And dalet is 4. 76 and 4 gets you to 80. So now you have 80 plus 170. 80 and 170 is 250. So now you have, it's not only yimloch, it's going to be yimloch li'oilam va'ed. That's the difference. Pach is 100, is yimloch. Keren is 350. That's yimloch 100. Li'oilam va'ed, another 250. 350 altogether. That's why. See, can you imagine what a goyness to think of that? As we took to Bnei Sascha. Why did the copy Laufer say that here? Because he said that we say about a chusin kala that a chusin is doim lemelech, it shouldn't be just a temporary malchus, it should be a malchus le'levod. So the boy say, whenever you are asked to speak at a sheva brachas, you can quote the skimari, you can quote the vartim ne'isoscha, and say that the shidduch should last oil me'ad, kinder einiklachen, ir einiklachen, 350 altogether. Keren, 350, the kuf plus the reish nun, 350, yimlech is 100.
What happens when all your friends die?
Then the children mitzvah will continue the melucha. Melech acher, melech
acher.
Keren is 350 altogether, and that's yimlech is 100, and then another 250. Good. Zogti moraviter, a moishchin koyhanim melochim. A melech should only be from the Malchus Yehuda and from the Shevet Yehuda and not from the Kanim or from the Shevet Levi. The Gemara brings two rayas. Reb Yehuda Antund Draya, apparently that's the name of his town or city that he came from. What did Reb Yehuda Antund Draya say? Al Shem, because it says in the Pasuk, Lo Yosur Shevet Mi Yehuda. Shevet over here doesn't mean just a staff, scepter. But it means the scepter, meaning that's referring to the scepter of Melucha, of power. So the power should always be with Yehuda, and therefore the Kohanim shouldn't take over. Amr Pchei Bar Ada, I have another raya. And the raya is from two psukim, which are one next to each other, and therefore based on the smichus, or the juxtaposition. What's the juxtaposition? It says in the Pasuk, Man Yarech Yom HaMachtoi, Hu Uvanev Beker is Yisrael, and Maxim Basri, what does it say in the next Pasuk? Lo Yeh Lakehanam HaLevim. If you look at number 9 down below, you have the Psukim here on the left-hand margin, Torah Ora Shalem, Levilti Rubin Levovim Me'echav, Levilti Surman HaMitzvah, Yom HaNismol, Man Yarech Yom HaMachtoi, Hu Uvanev Beker is Yisrael. That's one Pasuk. And the Pasuk right after that says, about the Yira Kehanim Alevim, Kol Shevet Levi, Chedek V'Nachla in Yisrael, because Hashem U'Nachla, so etc., etc. So that's a totally different parsha. That parsha is talking about the Kehanim Alevim didn't get a Chedek in Eretz Yisrael. However, because the two Pesukim are together, it's telling you, yes, Mamlach Toi became Yisrael, but not Kehanim Alevim, they should not take over the Melech. Good. Amr Rav Yochanan. Hu Yochanan, hu Yochas. Now, to understand this Gemara, it's a very simple Gemara, but you have to bear in mind a Pasuk. The Pasuk is a Pasuk in Divrei HaYamim. It's quoted verbatim here in the Karban Eid. We're in the Karban Eid. In my Gemara, you see it says Tzion Yerushalayim in the left-hand margin. Mm-hmm. Tzion Yerushalayim. Right next to that, in the Karban Eid, there is a Karban Eid which begins Hu Yochanan Hu Yoyachas. Everybody have that?
Yes.
You're looking the wrong one. You have to look over here. Over here. It's around over here. 1059. It's about, for those of you who have different Tzuris Adaf, about 12, 15 lines before the end of the Karban Eda on this Amud. So the Karban Eda quotes, the Divrei Yomim Ksif, Ubnei Yoshio. The Pasuk says Yoshio had four sons. Habachar Yoichanan, Sheini Yohayokim, Shlishi was Tzidkiyahu, the Revi was Shalom. Four altogether. The eldest, based on this pasuk, was Yoichanan. Number two was Yehoyakim, Tzidkiyahu, and Shalom. We're only going to focus on the first two. We're going to get back to the other two later on. So we have Yoichanan and Yehoyakim. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yoichanan says, Hu Yoichanan, Hu Yehoyachaz. When we said in the pasuk, Yoichanan, that's Yehoyachaz. How do I know that that was Yoyachas? Continuing the Gemara, Amr Yoichanan Yoyachanan, who Yoyachas? Voksiv Habachar Yoichanan Bechar Lamao. Stop. Bechar Yoichanan. What's the Gemara's kash? Gemara's kash is we just got finished saying a moment ago that Yoyachas was 2 years younger than Yoyachim, and that's why we had to go and anoint him to be the new Melech, right?
Yes.
But based on what Rabbi Yoichanan is telling us, Yoichanan is the oldest,
right.
Which means Yoyachas is older than Yoyachim. You just told me that he's younger. What's going on over here? It says, B'chor Yoichanan. Anthony Mar B'chor L'malchus. Chronologically, who was born first? Yoyachim was born first. Yehoyachaz was younger. The reason why he's listed as being the Bechor is Bechor Lamalchus in terms of who was the one that took over the monarchy after Yeshio passed away. It was Yehoyachaz, and in that sense, he was the Bechor. Not that he was the one, the Bechor, that they had to pay 5 shkolim to the Kohen Gadol. Not that he was the firstborn. He was born number 2. The reason why he's listed as a Bechor, because he was the first Melech among the 4 sons. Right. I see that Reb Simcha has a Shaila. What's your question?
So I'm looking at the Pasuk quote, number 10, down below. Yashal Bechor Yoichron, Sheni Yoyakim, Ashish Tzio, Ravi Shalom.
Good.
Okay. So you're saying Yoichron was Yoichos?
I'm not saying that, Reb Yoichron is saying that.
Right, okay.
Yoichron says Yoichron and Yoichos are synonyms, they're the same person. That being the case, then the eldest one is Yehoyachas. He's the Bechor. The second one is Yoyakim. But the Gemara said a minute ago that Yoyakim is 2 years older than Yehoyachas. Oh, you have a
they dash in this part of Abchom and Abchom Malchus.
That's the Gemara's answer.
And Yoyachos and Yoyachon are interchangeable.
Yoyachon and Yoyachas are two names for the same individual. Correct. So now that we have cleared that up, now let's go to the other two. Number 3 was Tzidkiyahu Number four is Shalom. Oh, Rabbi Yochanan, who Shalom, who Tzidkio? There were not four sons. There were only three sons. And this third son had two names, Shalom and Tzidkio. Frey Timara. That's not the way I read the pasuk. The pasuk says, "Vaksev Hagimel Tzidkio Verevi Shalom." What's going on? Everything more Gimel Letoldos Dalid LeMalchus. Tzidkio was the third son because Yoshio HaMelech only had three sons. The oldest being Yehoyakim, the second one being Yehoyachaz, and the third one being Tzidkio. Vosidem Masim Et Harevi Shalom, because Tzidkio only became the fourth melech after Yoshio. He didn't become the third melech. What do you mean? So the Karban Eda and the Takan Charetin throw in, because again, Yehoyachaz was the first successor to Yoshio. Then it was Yehoyakim. After Yehoyakim, it was Yehoyakim's son, whose name was Yechonia, also known as Yehoyachin. So Yechonia now was Melech number three, and then afterwards Tzidkio became Melech number four. So now a nephew kind of got in between over here. What do I mean a nephew? Because it was Yoakim's son that was the successor to Yoakim. Vis-a-vis Tzidkio, he was the nephew of Tzidkio, because Tzidkio was the brother of Yoakim. So since Yoakim's son Yechonia took over as number three, Tzidkio became number four. And he succeeded his nephew Yechonia. That's what the Gemara is telling us. In terms of how many children born to Yeshio, he was number three, Tzidkio. The reason why the Pasuk says that there was a fourth one, Shalom, it means that he, Tzidkio, was king number four. Now, how did he get a name like Shalom? We'll see the Gemara in a moment. It's going to say because Shalom Malchusai. Zog the Gemara. He got a name Tzidkio Shetzidek Olav Midas Hadin. Shalom Shebiyom of Shalma Malchus Beis Dov. So the Shalma Malchus Beis Dov, that's easy. That means he was unfortunately the last of Malchus Beis Dov, Tzidkio HaMelech. That's why the Lord Shalom means that was it. Tam Benishlam, no more after that. What's the Shetzidek Olav Midas Hadin? So the Karban Eidah says, Pshat, that when he became king, unfortunately, Nebuchadnezzar gave him a warning and told him, you better not rebel. And Tzidkio HaMelech did not heed the advice of Nebuchadnezzar, and he eventually did rebel. And because of that, he was punished very severely by Nebuchadnezzar. And if you look at the about 6-7 lines before the end of the Karban Eidah, Shetzidek Olav Nebuchadnezzar Esadin V'Omoloi Koyatztik Olecha Esadin. If you're going to go and make a merit against me, then it's going to be Achaz Dosoy. Remember that. And he accepted that. He was called Tzidkio, but later on he changed his mind, and in fact he didn't make a merit after all. Anyway, but getting back to our Gemara, so that's how he got these two interesting names, Tzidkio, Shetzidik Olav, and Shalom, because Shalom Machusen. So, Gemara, in truth, both of those names are not the real names, they were only nicknames. Lo Shalom Habishmei, v'lo Tzidkio Habishmei. Ela Matanya, his real name was Matanya. Hado Dechsim, that's why it says in another pasuk, Yimlech Melech Bavel es Matanya Dodo Tachtov, that Nebuchadnezzar, he was the one that placed Tzidkio as the new Melech after his nephew. That's why the Yechonia, that's why we refer to Matanya as the Dodo, as his uncle. V'yisavishmoy Tzidkio, and Nebuchadnezzar changed the name of Matanya, otherwise known as Shalom, to Tzidkio HaMelech. Fine. With this, we've ended this whole discussion, the Shemana Mishcha and the Melachim, and Reb Simcha has a question.
So now we know what there was the third king who was a nephew, a grandson in this case.
Right.
The Pasuk says, when Yoshio Abchor Yochanan, which means Yochaz, right?
Yochaz.
Shein Yochim.
Right.
Hashlishi Tzidkio is the same person.
Right, Tzidkio and Shalom.
Leman of Shoch.
Right.
If it, and we said, what, even though Yehoyakim was older than Yehoyachaz, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he was the second king.
He was, Yehoyakim was number two.
So now, the Bechor means the Bechor Lemlucha.
The Yehoyachaz was the Bechor Lemlucha.
So, Maman of Shoch, the third one was not Tzidkio, the fourth one was Tzidkio.
We're talking about in terms of sons. Sons of
Yehoyakim. But it was either, right? So Maman of Shoch, it was either Tzidkio, was still the third son. There's no fourth son.
100%, only three sons.
So, how does the Pasuk stand now?
Shlishim and Revi, the only thing that doesn't stim is the word Revi.
Right.
It would, should it only say Shlishim? Because
it's at the end of Shalom.
It's saying that Revi means that Tzidkiyo had the distinction of being the fourth king in this Mishpucha after Yeshio's Petira. How is he the fourth king? Because Yayachas was one, Yayachim was two, Yechani was three, and Tzidkiyo was number four.
So now ties to Pasuk then. The Shlishi was Tzidkiyo, which makes not Malchus was the third son.
He was the third son, and he was the Revi Lamalchus.
Right, because he was the son of the brother.
Tzidkiyo and Shim was saying, okay, fine, okay, I'm sorry.
No, you have to be sorry. It's a difficult Pasuk, you're right. Certainly that's not the Pashup Shem, the Pasuk. If you look at the Pasuk, the Karban Eider Revila Malchus, about 10 lines before the end, Revila Malchus, Shemalach Yehoyachaz, V'achrov Yehoyakim, V'achrov Yechonye Benoy, V'achrov Tzidkiyo. So Tzidkiyo was the third of the brothers, but the fourth of the Malachim, because his nephew got stuck there in the middle, in between Yehoyakim and he, Tzidkiyo. Talking about Avaita, from here now we're going to go and talk about the measurements of the Oroin. And it's going to be a major machloikis between Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda. And the nafkamina will be whether there was room for the Sefer Torah inside the Oroi together with the Luchais.
So at this point, is it not known if the Second Temple had an Oron? Is that the problem here?
It is crystal clear that there was no Oron in the Second Temple.
So then, now I have the model of our shuls. We have to have an Oron with a Torah to be able to daven it, right?
Right.
So how did they... They didn't have davening like we have today. Mm. They have karbanos. So then
they brought the karbanos, and there was no oroin inside the base.
So it wasn't necessary.
But even when it was there, it wasn't kodesh kadoshim. You couldn't go see it anyway.
Yeah. It's not that you took out the sefer Torah for laying every Monday and Thursday or Shabbos.
I'm more talking about the presence of the Torah.
The presence of the oroin hakodesh. There's a little bit of a misnomer. We think of oroin hakodesh. We have sefer Torah. The oroin which was in the base of Migdash had in it the luchos. And now there's a machlokis and the Shibri Luchais, meaning the first and the second
fragments.
The tablets, right. Yes, the fragments of the first and the full ones of the second. And there was also Sefer Torah there in the Kodesh Kedoshim. The question is, was the Sefer Torah was in the Oren together with
a parchment Luchais thing? Or
like our Sefer Torah.
The papyrus, right? They had.
Papyrus, parchment, yeah, like ours. Whether it was inside. Klaf. Whatever it was inside the base, whether it was inside the...
But the point is that wasn't there in the Second Temple.
That was not there in the Second Temple.
So
where was it?
Did they have davening services? It wasn't like...
The Gemara elsewhere says that they were as small excerpts of the davening interspersed in the Beis HaMikdash, but the regular davening had in other Batei Midrashim and Shuls.
Later on.
The full text like we have today was only developed later on, actually, in Esrei Gdola. However, at the time of, because you find the Masechtas Yuma and other Masechtas that as they were, Kehanim were printed during the Trumas Hadeshen or bring the first carbon Tumid, some Kehanim went into another room, they started learning Krishma, and they did say the first bracha, they said the second bracha, the third bracha, there's a whole.
So things slowly evolved.
They evolved over time. That's correct. Beautiful.
There was one sheet that there were two Aronos.
That was yesterday, correct. Where there was only one Aron or two Aronos. That's correct. Shkoyach. Anyway, today we're going to talk about the one that was in the times of
Moshe. Harrison Ford, remember.
So we're going to talk about, I'm not sure what you're referring to, but that's fine. So we have now.
Lost Ark.
Ah, okay. No, that's
a movie.
Okay, fine. Just go ahead. The only movie that I'm really familiar with is Masechtas Erev, and it talks about you have a movie in the foolish and a movie in the shame of foolish. But that's a different type of movie that you
know.
Okay. Anyway, you did fine. We're 7-8 lines from the bottom of the Amud.
I'm a fan.
Let's go to Bais. Let's go. Exactly. Mesam Chilev. So now it says in the Pasuk that the Oroin in the Mishkan was, let's look down and number 12 down below Torah Ara Sholein, V'yasu Oroin Atzei Shittim. They made an Oroin out of wood. Amasayim v'chetzi orkoi v'ama v'chetzi rochboi v'ama v'chetzi kimasai. We're not going to talk about the kimasai. We're only going to talk about the orkoi and the rochboi. Orkoi means the length. Rochboi means the width. Everybody agrees it says in the Pasuk 2.5 amas were the length. 1.5 amma was the width. The question is, how many tfachim is that? Zog Dimar. Om Rabbi Yochanan. Be amma shal shisha tfachim hoya orin osui. The orin was made out of an amma of 6 tfachim. Man tana ba amma shal shisha tfachim. Who holds like Rabbi Yochanan? Which tana? Rameiri. Now we have a machloikis. Rameiri oime kola ammis hoya bibainis. The word bibainis over here means 6 tfachim. While Rabbi Yehuda oimer Amos Habinyan Shisha. Yes, when you're talking about the Kroshim, you're talking about the Adonim, you're talking about the infrastructure of the Mishkan, you're right, that's six. But you're talking about the Kalim, that was only Chamisha Tzvach. Zokti Gemara. Now we're going to go through the Cheshbonos, but the Cheshbonos are very, very simple, and especially since Reb Simcha is here to help us out, we are not going to have any difficulties. Exactly.
We're just calculating.
Par excellence. So I'll die to the Meir. So now we're going to quote Meir. Remember, Meir is the one that holds that the Amos were six Tvachim. And that's why the Gemara said, when Reb Yochanan said, Amos Shal Shishu Tvachim, he holds like Reb Meir, not like Reb Yehuda, because Reb Yehuda was only five Tvachim. Okay. So I'll die to the Meir. Do Omar. Reb Meir holds the following. The Amashel Vav Tvachim Hoya Ore Osui. So therefore you have six Tvachim. Orkoy Shel Oren was Tes Vav Tvachim. The Oirech, that's the length, was 15 Tvachim. How do I know the Chsiv? Amasayim Vachetzi Orkoy. Now, it's pretty easy to figure out, even without the Gemara spelling it out. If you have 2.5 Amas, and each Amma is six, Reb Simcha, 2 times 6 gets you to roughly
12.
Half of 6 gets you to roughly
3.
12 plus 3 gets you to 15. That's why our Gemara says that there was 15 Tvachim. Dechsev Amasayim V'chetzi Arka, with 3 lines from the bottom of the Amid. 2.5 Amas. Amsa Ashita, the Amsa Ashita. 1 Amma equals 6 Tvachim. Another Amma equals 6 Tvachim. 6 plus 6 is 12. Upalgis Amsa, and half of an Amma of 6 gets you Tlasa. So 12 plus 3 gives you 15 altogether. Exactly like Reb Simcha said a moment ago. Shkoyach. And we had 4 luchais. When we say abo luchais, we really mean 2 luchais. But since each luchais had the right side and the left side, we call it arbo luchais. And each one of the 2 sides of luchais was 3 tvachim wide. So a regular normal luchais was 6 tvachim wide altogether. And if you have 2 sets of luchais, then you have 12 in the width. Again, you have 2 sets of luchais. Each luchais is 6 tvachim across wide. If you have 2 and you place one next to each other, put down 1 luchais and put the next luchais, it's 12 wide altogether. So says Yimar, the arba luchais are you boy, shnayim shleimim, 2 of course which were complete, that's the second luchais, with shnayim shvurim, then the first pair of luchais, which was unfortunately in fragments. Right. Put them all into the aron. Haluchais hayu kol echad v'yechad orkoi vav tvachim. The length of the luchais, that means the height from the top to the bottom, that was 6 tvachim. Roch by however was shloisha. You have to ignore it's a shisha. We're going to have this 3 or 4 times.
Is a fist size about?
Approximately, correct. So Roch by was shloisha. You see there's a design over here that takes you to the Vilna Goyen. The Vilna Goyen tells you it was 3. Okay, so now 10 orkon shaluchais. Now it shouldn't say orkon, it should say 10 rochbon shaluchais. La orkon shal arni. We're going to have this correction a few times. The Amid base. 10 Rochban Shaluchais, the Orkoy Shal Ore. So now let's figure out the Cheshbon over here. Rochban Shaluchais, we already concluded that the Roichav of the Luchais was 12. How did we get that the Roichav was 12? Because we said that each one of the. Shalom, I get you. We have 2 sets of Luchais. The width of each one of the Luchais was 6. If you take 2 together, 2 times 6, you get now 12. And we're taking the 12 of the width of the luchais and we're placing them in the 15 tvachim of the length of the aron. So if you put 12 into 15, how much do you think you're going to have remaining? 3, right? Yep. If you take 15, fill it up with 12. 15 minus 12 gets you?
30.
15 minus 12. 15 minus 12.
Right.
Gets you to 3.
That's what I said.
I thought you said 30.
No.
It says the Gemara. Okay, Shkoyach.
He said in Western style.
Okay, fine. Look at the end of the Gemara, last 4 words. Nishtayasham Shloisha Tvachim. Because we started off with 15. Rabbi said, remember, it's all very, very simple. The length of the Oren was 15. We're putting there 2 sets of Luchais to the Roichav, to their width.
My question is right.
Well, okay, so what about 6 plus 6 is 12.
Right.
If you put 12 into 15, you're left with 3 tvachim. Right.
One you're talking about length, one you're talking about width.
Correct.
Okay.
There's a picture, if you turn the picture to turn to the next page, there's a picture of the art scroll.
See?
A nice picture over there. You see the length is 15, and you see 3, 3, 3, 3. Yeah. and then you had a Torah scroll. You see that? You have 15 altogether. 10 mehem chatzi tefach lechol koitzel. If we're going to go into, remember, we have three left over. The three we're going to split up now because we're going to talk about the width of the wall. When we talk about 15 tvachim was the orain, we're including not just the inside, we're including the outside. So the thickness of the walls also occupied space. Chatzi tefach lechol koitzel. So now if you take off a half a tefach here and a half a tefach there, so now we have one tefach left, less of the three. So now we have two tvachim available, put the Sefer Torah, right? Start off with 15. We occupy 12 with the luchais. We took off one for the two walls. So now that's 13. So you got two left. You put the Sefer Torah in those two tvachim. Roch b'shal aron. What is the roich of aron? Since it was amasayim v'chetzi orkoi, now it's v'ama v'chetzi roch b'y. So ama v'chetzi gives us Tisha Tvachim, Dichsib, Amma Vachetzi Rochbay. How do you get to 9? Amsa Ashita, one Amma is 6 Tvachim. Upalgis Amsa, and a half an Amma is 3, is 9 Tvachim. And now the next three full lines, the Gemara repeats what we already said before, and that's why the Vilna Goyen says this is unnecessary, but we'll just say it. Varbo Luchais Hoyu Boy, we had 4 Luchais, meaning the 2 piers, the 2 sets of luchais, shnayim shleimim with shnayim shvurim, 2 were complete, 2 were fragments, tachzev, asher shibarta v'samtim v'oray, haluchais hoyu kol echad v'echad orkon shisha tvachim, v'rochban shloisha tvachim, like we already said on the Amud Aleph, all of this is just repetition. And now, we are figuring out in the 9 tvachim, what do you do with 9 tvachim, right? We already took care of the 15 in the length, we're now dealing with the 9 tvachim of the width of the aron. So says the Gemara, not 10 rochman, but 10 orkon shel luchois leroich boy shel aron. We already established that the oirich of the luchois was 6 tvachim. In fact, we just repeated it. Be'echad orkon shisha tvachim, 6 tvachim. So if the length was 6 tvachim, and we're placing this in the 9 tvachim width of the aron, so we take 9 minus 6, once again, Nishtayir Sham Shloisha Tvachim, we have 3 Tvachim left over. What do we do for those 3 Tvachim? Chatzi Tefach Mikan Le Koisel Zeh. Chatzi Tefach Mikan Le Koisel Zeh, like we said before. So now we're left over with 2 Tvachim. Utvachayim Le Shilut Mokim Shesefer Torah Munach. The purpose of those other 2 was to be able to go and pull the Sefer Torah out and to put the Sefer Torah in. Meaning that just like when you have svarim in a svarim shank, if you press them in very, very tightly, it becomes almost impossible to take the svarim out. If you have a little room on top, in other words, it's not so compacted, if you have room to insert your hand, then you can go and pull the sefer from the top. If there's no room between one shelf and the other, it's exactly for all the svarim, it becomes virtually impossible to take a sefer out. That's why you had to have the extra 2 tvachim for shilut mokim to be able to maneuver and manipulate and pull the sefer Torah out and put it back in, etc. We'll stop over here because I see Reb Simcha has a question. Yes?
Al-Batish. What you say when you open up a tzvi, right? Deer.
You open up a deer?
Right. You can't put it back together.
Right.
If all luchas were together, mamish, so I understand it's 2 tvachim, but the shibet luchas could not have been compacted exactly as it was. Look at the shibet luchas now. So what's about? It's just all about. I understand how. If you break up, you break up something. It's not the same as in it's the dynamic. I don't know what the word. The dimensions mm-hmm. not the same as when it was together.
Apparently, they were able to get all the fragments together, and they didn't. I assume they didn't use super glue to attach
no,
them.
I mean,
but
no.
They put them all in place for sure. So they occupy the same too. Okay. We'll continue on. So this was Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan was going with the Shita of Reb Meir, that it's 6 Tvachim were the Amos. So that's why we had the 15 by 9. Rabbi Shimon Lakish Omar be'ama bas chamisha Tvachim haya aron osri. No, it was not 6 Tvachim, it was 5 Tvachim. Man tana be'ama bas chamisha Tvachim, that's Rabbi Yehuda, which we said already in the Amud Aleph. Tinin Taman, Rabbi Yehuda Omar, amas habinyan was shisha, but shalakelim was chamisha. Okay, v'hein oren kliu. Everybody knows the oren was not a binyan, it was a kli. So al dait to Reb Yehuda, according to Reb Yehuda, do Omar, Reb Yehuda would say, be'ame shel chamisha tvachim haya, therefore it was 5 tvachim. So what was the orkoi? Orkoi osui shneim osa tefachot machtza. In other words, instead of doing 6 times 2.5, we're going to multiply 5 times 2.5. 5 times 2, of course, gives us 10. 5 times a half gives us 2.5. So it'll be 12.5. In case you had any doubts, the Gemara goes through it. Okay? Amsa, one am is chamisha. The amsa, again, is another chamisha. 5 plus 5 is 10. Upalgas amsa, and half of an amma is treu palig, is 2.5. So I have exactly 12.5. Okay, now we're going to put the luchis in again. V'dal luchis hoyu by shnayim shlem v'shnayim shvurim. Tichsev asher shibart. Now we're repeating this now the third time. V'samtem barim, v'al luchis hoyu kolecha v'yechad, orkan shisha tvachim, there were 6 tall, 6 long, v'rochban not shisha, v'rochban shloisha tvachim, 3 tvachim wide, each segment of the luchis. So now, if you multiply 4 times 3, that gives you 12 in the width of the luchis. So now we got, it's a little bit tighter according to Abiyuda, because 10 rochban shluchis, the width of the luchis, which again is 4 times 3, is 12 tvachim. Put that in orkoy shel orain, which was 12.5. Right. So now the difference between 12.5 and 12, v'nishtai yisham chatzi tefach. I only have a half a tefach left. 12.5 minus 12.
Wall,
even, I guess. We're not done yet. So we have a half a tefach. Etzbal koysel mikan, etzbal koysel mikan. We're going to split that tefach, that chutzi tefach. We're going to split in half. It's going to be one etzba here, one etzba there. In other words, very, very thin walled to the art. So this is why we have now taken care of the orech of the Orain, placing 12 tvachim of rochav of the luchais in the 12.5, and I have a half it left, that half a tefach, one etzba here, one etzba there. Let's go now to the roich b'shalarn. The roich b'shalarn, of course, is going to be shivet tvachim u'mechtze, 7.5 tvachim. Again, simple arithmetic, because it says the passing, amma v'chaytzi rochbay. And again, the Gemara does the arithmetic for us. Amtsa is chamsha, the amma is 5. Upalgas amtsa, and a half of an amma is trey upalik, 2.5. So 5 and 2.5 is 7.5. And now for the fourth time, the Gemara repeats again. V'dal luchais hoyu boy. There were 4 luchais, meaning 2 pairs. Shnayim shleim v'shnayim shvurim. Dichsev asher shibart. V'samtem b'orei. Haluchais hoyu kol echad v'yechad orkan shisha tvachim, 6 long, that means 12. V'rochman shloisha tvachim, and 3 tvachim wide. Okay, so now, not 10 rochman, but 10 orkan. Let's take the orech of the luchais. We just finished the orech of the luchais was 6. We're going to put the roich boy shel orein. We're going to put in the roich of the orein, and we said the roich shel orein was 7.5. Right? We said it's 5 times 1.5 is 7.5. So putting 6 into 7.5. V'nishtai yisham. So how much do we have left? We have 7.5 minus 6. We're left with tefach u'mechtze, 1.5 tvach. Etzba lekoysel mikan. The etzba lekoysel mikan. Take away the half a tefach by putting an etzba here and an etzba there. Is chatzi tefach mikan, chatzi tefach mikan, l'shilut. So we had 1 extra tefach, right? Again, we start, we have 7.5, we subtract 6, that leaves us with 1.5. Mm-hmm. A half, we're going to compensate for the 2 walls, the 2 sides, so we're going to have 1 tefach left. That tefach we're going to go and split up. Chutzi tefach mikan, chutzi tefach mikan, l'shilut, so that you should be able to go and maneuver and have room to go and put in and take out the luchais. Not the Sefer Torah, because there was no room for the Sefer Torah. So therefore the Sefer Torah was outside the Orein. Where was that Sefer Torah? We're going to talk about in another moment. Says Yimar, Gezer Osim Salas Orein, how do you make the Orein? So Yimar quotes now from the Rashi in Chumash, Reb Chia Tzavus, Zogt Omar Sholosh Tevois Asoi. He made it 3 separate boxes. Shtayim shel zov, 2 made out of gold. V'acha shel eitz, and 1 made out of wood. Nosim shel zov bishel eitz, v'shel eitz bishel zov. So the inner box was gold, the outer box was gold, and the inside, in between, the middle box, that was eitz, to go and give it should be more sturdy and more strong. V'tzipo, and then he was metzapa the eighth one from the outside. Like the Gemara is going to tell us in a moment. Tachzif, v'tzipisa oisei zohav tor mibayis u'michutz titzapen. So the pasuk that we quoted back on the Omer Aleph said that you made the Orin out of eight. Vasu aroin atzei shitim. You made it out of eight. I'm a sign b'chitzi orka, I'm a b'chitzi rochboy, etc. So now this pasuk says v'tzipisa oisei zohav tor mibayis u'michutz. What does that mean? That means that taka, the middle box was made out of wood, but you made an inner box out of gold and an outer box out of gold, and therefore the wooden box was covered both sides, inside and outside, by gold.
Core.
Exactly. I have an extra word here in the pasuk. It says v'tzipisa oisoi. Tzipisa means to go and cover, to plate it. Zov toim b'ayisim mechutz titzapenu. We already said v'tzipisa oisoi. We didn't titzapenu. L'havisvaso el yoyna. The meaning, if you have the three boxes, one inside the other, so in the middle box, the eights, you see it from the top, you can see that it's wood. So you would cover over that portion on top too, so it looks like...
You mean like the outside?
Mm-hmm. The outside. The upper part. In other words, you have these three boxes, one inside the other. You can tell that there's a middle box of gold, I'm sorry, of wood. How can you tell? Because you see the top of the box protruding on top between the two gold boxes. So you would cover that over as well, so that the whole thing is now covered with gold from top to bottom. Reb Shimon Lakish Omar, Teva Achas Asoi. Reb Shimon Lakish disagrees, and he says, no, there was only one teva altogether, made out of wood, atzei shittim, v'tzipo, and he covered it. Tachsiv v'tzipo, he says, avtar, mibayis v'chot. Now, ma'atam alim v'tzipenu, why does it add the word v'tzipenu? Reb Pinchas lahavi bein neser l'neser. What means neser l'neser? The box made out of wood was not constructed out of one piece of wood, but rather was four pieces of wood that they kind of nailed or glued or whatever together from all four sides, besides the bottom. So when the two pieces of wood would come in at a corner, so one would think you don't need the covering over there of the gold. In other words, just leave the gold to the outside world. But where it hits in the corner and the two pieces of wood connect, you would think you don't need gold covering. So if you want, no, even over there, everything was covered. So they took the four pieces of wood and they covered them gold from all four sides in advance. And now when they attached them, they were attaching the gold against the gold, not just the wood against
bottom.
The top and bottom from beginning to end. Good. How were the luchas written? In other words, the way we have it, that when you see on all the luchais, which are always on the paroiches or on top of the Aron Kodesh, you have five on one side, five on the other side, ten altogether. That's why it's in the pasuk. Now that seems to be so simple that the next few mandiyomrim are going to be very perplexing. No. In fact, the luchas were repeated twice. On the right hand side, you had the full ten, and the left hand side, you had the full ten. How do I know? In the Vayagel Lechem Brisa Shetziva Eschem Lasis Aseres HaDvarim. Now the Gemara leaves out the key words of this drasha, because the pasuk continues on. If you have number four down below, the Yagel Lechem is Brisoi, Ashet Tziva Eschem Lasis Aseres HaDvarim, Vayich Teveim Al Shnei Luchas Avonim. The Vayich Teveim is going back on these Aseres HaDvarim, and he's saying, doesn't say Vayich Toiv, says Vayich Teveim. He wrote them meaning the Aseres HaDvarim, on the Shnei Luchas Avonim, one Luach here, one Luach there. 20 altogether, 10 and 10. Okay, so look, we're not finished. If Shimon Yechoyim, Esrim Aluachze, V'Esrim Aluachze, 20 on each luach. In other words, it was repeated twice. Tachsiv, V'yichtevein, Al Shnei Luchay Savarim, Esrim Aluachze, V'Esrim Aluachze. Some of the Mepharshim explain, when it says 20, it means because they had luchais on the front side and luchais on the back side. And therefore, taking each luach individually, just the right column, if you will, the right side, the luchais, all 10 were written in the front, all 10 were written in the back, so you have 20 aluchs. That, and the same thing for the second one. So that sounds pretty straightforward. Were 40 on this and 40 on that. From all sides. Tatroiga, the Takal Chabit, it says that means it was in a cubic shape. And the Mepharshim explain, what does it mean in a cubic shape? We, of course, know when it said Mizeum Mizahim Ksum, you could see the luchas on both sides. What the Gemara is telling us, you could see the luchas on all four sides, meaning not only the front and the back, but also on the sides of the luchas, you could see the luchas written. So it was written four times, the front, side, back, 40 altogether on each one of the two luchas, and therefore you had 80 altogether. 40 here, 40 there, altogether 80. Good. Chanani ben Achi Rabbi Yeshua Oimer, Bein Kol Dibo V'Dibo Diktukea Bo'isi Yoseh Shel Torah. Chanani ben Achi Rabbi Yeshua says something really fantastic. He says that after each one of the 10 Aseres Dibrois, all the Diktukim and all the Torah was all written almost parenthetically. Presumably it doesn't mean as a parenthesis. It was written in tiny, tiny font between each Dibor V'Dibor. Tachsev Mimuloim V'Tarshish Kiyama Rabba. It was full like a Yamarava, like a large, large ocean. Tarshish has another of different pshatim, what exactly Tarshish means, but he does mean to say is that the whole Kola Teda Kula was written in the each one of the Luchis. And it was written 10 times, as he's saying, in between each Dibur V'Dibur. And according to those that hold it, it was written 40 times or 80 times, it was written many, many times. Reb Shimon Lakish could have a Mati Hadin Kriya, have a Omar. When he would come to that Pasik, he would go and say, Omar Yofet Lindeni Achanani Ben Achir Reb Yeshua. That Achanani Ben Achir Reb Yeshua, who was the one that started off, that said that, Kol Diba V'Diba Diktukeh of the Ois Yisrael, that the whole Torah was written there, he said, I will give you a marshal ma'adavadoyma ma'ayama zeh ben gal, godl, gal, godl, gal, danim, kach ben kol, diba, diba, diktukter, but he says, I'll tell you, if you've ever been to an ocean or a sea, and it's at high tide, you'll see that you have these huge waves, one after the other, after the other. But very often, between one huge wave and another huge wave, there's a kind of a mini wave in between. First a big one, and then a small one, and then again a big one, and then a small one. So he's saying the same thing is here too. Between the Aseres and Dibros, those were the big ones, and in between you had the small ones, like the small gal. So Reish Lakish very much extolled the virtues of that Shtikl Torah of Hananiah ben Achi Reb Yeshua. Omer Tanchuma, this Kashis Kumi Reb Pinchas, Asik Reb Yehuda, Vlei Asik Reb Meir, Bechoyra. This whole Gemara that we had before stimmed like Reb Yehuda, not like Reb Meir. So now, skip over the last few lines that we've been learning, and we're going back to the Machlokes of Meir Reb Yehuda about the construction and the dimensions of the Oren vis-a-vis the Luchais, that we said according to Reb Meir, the Sefer Torah could fit in the Oren because it had 15 by 9, but according to Reb Yehuda, it was only 9 by 7 and a half, I'm sorry, 12 and a half by 7 and a half, and so therefore there was no room for the Sefer Torah. It says, Iskushis, Umrab Tadchuma, Iskushis, I had the following kasha in front of Reb Pinchas. Ask Reb Yehuda, Vlei Ask Reb Meir, L'chor, the psukim sound much more like Reb Yehuda, not like Reb Meir. My time, Reb Yehuda, since in the Pasuk, L'chor, the Sefer Torah, the Samtum Oisei, Mitzad Aroin Bris Hashem. Mitzad sounds like on the side of the Oroin, meaning from the outside. And therefore, Al Daita Reb Yehuda, couldn't Reb Yehuda do Omar, Reb Yehuda would say, there was like a small box or a platform. In fact, the Gemara in Bavli says there was a daf that was bolet, like a ledge coming out from the Oren, and on top of that, here it doesn't sound like a daf bolet, here it sounds like there was a box of sorts attached to the Oren Kodesh, and they put the Sefer Torah inside that box. So that makes a lot of sense. But my time with Reb Meir, because after all, Reb Meir is the one that holds it was placed in the Oren itself, not next to the Oren, but in the Oren. So I'll tell you the Pshat of Reb Meir. The Chassidus says in the Pasuk, it's not just a Kaparis, ala Oren mil mola, the ala Oren tita de so'edah shet etain eilecha. Now what is all of that about? So the Gemara leaves out that there's a prior Pasuk that talks about that Moshe Rabbeinu put the Eidus into the Oren. And then the Pasuk repeats it yet again. Menasatas a kaparis ala oren mumala, put the kaparis, that's the lid on top. Vela oren into the oren, put in the edus yeretain alecha. What do you mean? I already put the edus in several psukim earlier. This repetition comes to tell you that the first edus is referring to the luchaisa edus. The second edus is referring to the sefer Torah, which is an edus. Aha. So therefore that Pasuk tells you, Vesamtem, put it inside the oren. Menasatas a kaparis ala oren mumala, ala oren. Tita the Seidus, put it into the Oren. So Zokti Mara, from that I see a Kuntra Meir that in fact the Sefer Torah was in the Oren, not from the outside. Says Ma'al Daita Rameir, do Omer, Rameir would say, in Muktam Ucham Batayr, that this Pasik would seem to be written in reverse. What does it mean? Because it says in the Pasik, Menasatas and Kabaris, put the lid on top of the Oren, and then put the Sefer Torah in. How can you go and put in the Sefer Torah once you close it? Can you imagine you send somebody up to go and do Haitzah Vachnas and take out the Sefer Torah, and you tell them the first thing you should do is make sure that the urn is totally closed and don't open it, and then take out the Sefer Torah. I mean, you're nuts. You have to open up the urn and then take out the Sefer. You can't go and close it and then... So here it says you put the kaparis on, and then you take out the... Then you put the edus into the urn. So that's why it's Ein Muchta Muchta Torah. Ella, the way you should understand the pasuk is the la oren tita the seidah shetain elecha the achgal nosen etekapoyis ala oren milmala. Fine. Says the Gemara, we're going to conclude with this. Reb Shem ben Levi, Ha Torah Shenos LeKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe Nitna Loi Eish Levana Charusa BeEish Shchoyer. He Eish Mevleles BeEish Chatzuva BeEish Chatzuva MeEish Unasuna MeEish. It should be Mevleles BeEish Chatzuva MeEish Unasuna MeEish. Tichsev Miminoi Eish Daslami. The whole Torah was given a fiery Sefer Torah, and so therefore it was given Eish Levana. It was white fire, like normal fire. Charusa, however, it was engraved be'esh shchoyer. That is similar to, for instance, when we write the Sefer Torah, we have black ink on a white parchment. So here you have the black fire against the white fire. This esh muvlelis, it was all mixed. Esh chatzuva, or chatzuva me'esh, it was cut out with esh. On a sunah me'esh, esh doslamei. Torah is fire, so Mitchum, when we learn, we have to learn with a bren, with a passion, with a fire. Have a wonderful day. Rabbi says that Gevench and call to the field. Barry, any questions? David? Okay, hearing none. Mitchum, we continue tomorrow morning, hopefully at 7:40, assuming you have a minion exactly on time.